Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC, and our final conversation this morning is about NASA facing what many are calling its biggest decision in a generation. They have until Thursday to decide whether or not to go ahead with plans to retire the current space shuttle fleet and replace it with a new mode of space travel. This is a $230 billion decision, but there's no one in the top job at NASA to make that decision right now. The Obama administration hasn't filled the post, and now the shuttle program is hanging in the balance. With us to explain what's at stake and if we should expect to see American astronauts boarding, I don't know, maybe Russian space shuttles for the foreseeable future and hitching a ride, we are joined by Miles O'Brien, freelance space reporter and the former science, technology, and environmental correspondent for CNN. You probably know the face. Hi, Miles. Welcome to WNYC.
Such a pleasure to be here, Brian.
So what's at stake if they don't decide to fund this program by Thursday?
Well, they're not. The shuttle, it's all over, but the shouting, so to speak. These decisions were made a long time ago, and the fact that there's no leader at NASA right now is a reflection, sort of a pocket, what was that term, a pocket veto?
Not quite a pocket veto, but is it
a pocket agreement of the whole notion that was laid down originally by George Bush in January of 2004 to retire the shuttle fleet by the end of 2010, embracing the recommendations of the Columbia Accident Investigation Board to stop flying the shuttle and build a next-generation rocket. And the decision was made then not to develop the new system concurrently for lack of money. And so as a result, we have this big gap that is facing us right now. And yes, we'll be hailing Russian taxis to the space station.
How long a gap will it be?
Well, it's at least 5 years. Right now, they're saying 2015 will be the first flight of this Ares rocket, which is part of this. The umbrella is called the Constellation program. This Ares 1 rocket will fly in 2015. But you know as well as I do that in this business and with the funding uncertainties, and there's already talk of additional budget cuts to the program, that it's probably going to be a much longer gap than that. And people are just now waking up to this fact, even though this has been baked in for many years now.
But I gather that there are actually two options. One is the original plan that you just described to retire the current shuttle fleet by next year. Or the other one is a new plan in which maybe the shuttle fleet isn't retired or the new space vehicle plan is put on hold.
Well, here's the thing. It would cost $3 billion a year to keep the shuttle program going. And given the bailouts we've all been witnessing, that seems like a pittance. You know, let's remember, NASA's budget in total is only $18 billion. Only. I mean, really, that's I think AIG would spend that in about a day. So
If it's not a trillion, what the heck?
Yeah, it's nothing, right? So do we really want to spend $3 billion on the shuttle? And who wants to vote to extend the shuttle and then, God forbid, see another Columbia or Challenger event? That would be something that nobody wants to do. The Columbia Accident Investigation Board was very clear on the safety or lack thereof of continuing to fly the shuttle fleet. And so that issue looms. It's a money issue, but it's also, this is an aging vehicle and it's maybe not such a safe vehicle.
So who's going to make the decision in light of the fact that President Obama has not filled the top job at NASA?
The clock will expire on April 30th. The decision really already has been made by that next tier of management. They have decided not to do anything to preserve the option of keeping the shuttle flying, which costs money. And now they're going full bore on transitioning to this Constellation program, which is kind of like Apollo on steroids. Not a reusable system, a capsule. Ultimately, they want to go to the moon by 2020 or so, and maybe one day Mars.
Now I get your pocket veto analogy.
Yeah.
Do nothing by Thursday, and the original plan stays in effect, and the shuttle fleet gets retired.
It was a tortured metaphor. I did my best.
No, you were saying something, and I was just too dense to get it. Do the astronauts have an opinion about this as a group?
You know, the astronauts would probably fly the shuttle as long as the American people were willing to write the check. I mean, they just want to fly, period. And they'll take any ride, and they will accept tremendous amounts of risk. They understood the risk before Columbia, and more than we did, because NASA tries to make it all look so routine. Having said that, this notion of going to a destination, going back to the moon, really excites the younger generation of astronauts, and rightly so. The bottom line is the shuttle, after 25, approaching 30 years now, the shuttle has not inspired Americans, kids, whatever, as Apollo did, because they were going places.
You said off the air that it's like the White House dog is more important than the shuttle these days.
Yes, I think maybe Bo should be administrator for NASA. Maybe so. At this point, listen, there are no pressing decisions on the desk of the NASA administrator right now, unless they wanted to do something drastic, like keep flying the shuttles. And I think the decision has been made with this sort of benign neglect.
Well, it implies a larger question, which is, what is the space program for these days? What national interest does it serve that it's worth $18 billion or $230 billion?
Well, this is an age-old question. You know, they were asking this question while Apollo 11 was on its way to the moon. This has always been a question. And I think the way to best answer it these days is, look at what China and India are doing. They're spending a tremendous amount of money to put their people in space. India, with a per capita income, annual income of $800, thinks it's important enough to send a probe to orbit the moon and is planning a human-rated rocket.
Is it just prestige, like building nuclear weapons?
I think it is. There is the prestige factor, but there is an X factor which nobody has ever gotten a handle on. How much does this inspire kids? Yeah, an entire generation of engineers and mathematicians grew out of the moon race. And that's an X factor that's very difficult to quantify. But when you look at competitiveness and you look at where our country is in relationship to our competitors in the world, the space program plays an integral role in inspiring kids to be a part of it. And I think that's an important thing.
Did we ever get anything, though, other than that, out of the moon landing? Yeah, people went up there. The whole country watched on television in the baby boom years. You know, then they walked around, collected a few rocks, and came back.
We got some good rocks, very expensive rocks. I mean, that's the truth. There wasn't a tremendous amount of science that was conducted. The last mission, Apollo 17, they actually flew a geologist, Jack Smith, and there were some scientific experiments done. Those rocks have told them a lot of things about the moon. We know more about the moon's origins, and we know a little bit more about how we might be able to set up camp there in this new regime, which is the idea. The idea is to go there and stay there and learn about how to live there.
And part of the context in the 60s was the Cold War. There was a race against the Russians, and the United States got there first. And I wonder if we're really going to hitch a ride on the Russian space shuttles to get to the space station for the next 5 years. I mean, has the political situation changed recently to the point where relying on the Russians is more problematic than it might have been a year or two ago?
Well, I think we've seen how things can change in an instant as it relates to Russia and in the geopolitical context. I can tell you this, that at the, you know, sort of the bench level in the space programs, there's a good working relationship which goes back to the joint operations on the Mir space station. So the space programs integrate well and are operating well and have a good understanding that next tier and what Mr. Putin and company are going to do next could have a ripple effect on the whole thing. Having said that, I don't think that the U.S. wants to be in a position to upset the Russians so much that we lose our ticket to ride to the space station. It's tricky.
Other than hearts and minds and inspiring a next generation of scientists, why wouldn't they rely primarily on the space station for the space program, or just emphasize that? Because that's where the real science is taking place, isn't it?
Well, you know, up to this date, it's pretty sketchy, frankly, because what's happened is, you know, you look at what happened with Columbia and all the delays associated with that. The space station is just now getting to the point where you can have more than three people. Three people on board is about what it takes to keep the thing going. Mm-hmm. So you've got station keepers and not a tremendous amount of science. It's just now getting to the point. So the jury's out on the science. The issue is this, though. The American people do not connect with an engineering project like this. As marvelous as it is to build something like this in orbit, people are more interested in seeing the latest picture from Spirit and Opportunity from Mars, right? They want to be transformed. They want to be taken to another place.
Does it indicate something about Obama's attitude toward the space program that here we are at the end of April and he hasn't appointed a NASA administrator?
Well, a lot of people are reading tea leaves on this. And there was an early statement he made in the campaign, which he retracted. He did say this. He said, I think we should take some of the money we're going to be spending, or the money in general that we're going to be spending on this new generation of vehicles, and spend it on education instead. Well, this was widely criticized in space circles, and a lot of people said, well, you know, going to the moon and Mars is all about education, so maybe this doesn't make a lot of sense. He backed off of that, and certainly when Florida came into play, he really backed off of that. But maybe, just maybe, that was where his heart is.
Miles O'Brien, freelance space reporter, the former science, technology, and environment correspondent at CNN. Very informative. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
Megan Ryan, Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, and Paige Cowett produced this program. Annie Schreffler is our Uncommon Economics editor, and that's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.